Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports. It's brought to you by Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover. Now, with the latest, here's Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the Sammy Sue's Barbecue Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Eric McElroy. Eric, we got a good show for the listeners today. Going to talk NFL draft, the Cavs. They get a nice week off, the Indians, and of course, some spring sports in high school.
Yeah, spring sports winding down. You mentioned the draft, though. We're looking forward to our Big Z Sports Draft Watch Party coming up this Thursday at the Brickyard. More details at the end of this podcast on that. Also, all that info is on our Facebook page, WTUZ Big Z Sports. But first, Joe, like you mentioned, softball, baseball, all the spring sports winding down, which means a couple things. Summer right around the corner.
Yes, it is.
Which is nice for everybody. First, softball, New Philadelphia over Zanesville, 11-1 yesterday on Monday. Dover beat Marietta in shutout fashion, 13-0. New Cumberstown beat up on Malvern, 11-1. Ridgewood shutout TCC, 5-0 the final. Indian Valley beat CVCA 10-3. Claymont over Riverview in a tight one, 2-1. Strasburg beat Highland 10-3. And then to wrap up the softball scores, Fairless over Triway yesterday on Monday, 4-2. Now to baseball. These scores also from Monday: Indian Valley over CVCA 2-1. Tuskegee Valley beat Oroville 2-0. Sandy Valley over East Canton 7-1. Ridgewood beat TCC by 4, 6-2 the final. Garraway over Chippewa 12-2. Where's Chippewa at, Joe? Do you have any idea?
Doylestown, I believe.
Never heard of it. Newcomerstown over Malvern 8-4. And Riverview beat Claymont 7-2. And one more baseball score for you. Highland beat Strasburg 10-3. Like I mentioned, all those scores were yesterday on Monday.
Yeah, those are good scores. Highland, the latest rankings for the baseball AP poll has come out today on Tuesday, the 25th. In Division III, Highland is the number one ranked team in the state of Ohio. So Highland, defending state champs, they deserve probably to be number one at sitting at 16-0, Eric. And they just continue to get it done on the diamond and on the basketball court, as we saw in the winter.
Yeah, you mentioned Highland Division III. State champions, defending champs, that is, ranked number one, as Joe mentioned in the latest poll. Garraway ranked sixth for softball in Division III. That's the second poll that is out. Those polls came out yesterday. And how about this? Malvern High School's Jarrett Majestic signed his letter of intent, Joe. He's going to play basketball at Malone, right down the road from where I live. So Jarrett Majestic, a great not only basketball name, but sports name.
Sure.
Taking it to the next level. Malone, very good school.
Absolutely. A great basketball player, great football player, and I know he's a really good golfer as well. So, you know, Majestic, good luck to you, and we had fun covering you over the last couple of years, and I'm sure we'll hear lots of from you at Malone coming up over the next several years.
Yeah.
Eric, that wraps up our high school segment for this podcast. Quick message from Sammy Sue's Barbecue in Dover.
Big Z Sports on 99.9.
Looking for a great place to eat? Then head to Sammy Sue's Barbecue, first place winner of barbecue and ribs in the 2016 Times Reporter Reader's Choice Awards. At Sammy's, they pride themselves on their in-house smoked meats, made fresh-to-order dinners, side dishes, salads, and made-from-scratch soups. Sammy Sue's Barbecue is located on Front Street in Dover. Search for them on Facebook, visit their website at SammySuesBarbecue.com, or call 330-602-PORK.
Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome back into this week's edition of the Sammy Sue's Barbecue Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Eric McElroy. Eric, the Cavs get a well-deserved, about a week off or so, roughly, depends on the next series, but Cavs with a four-game sweep over the Pacers over the weekend.
Yeah, the Cavs now waiting on the winner of that Toronto and Milwaukee series, Joe. So if that goes seven, Toronto right now up 3-2 in the series. The Cavs will get a few more days off, which, hey, this time of year, everybody can use some days off. But the Cavs ended the first round in a sweep of the Indiana Pacers. Did you know it's the first time the Pacers have ever been swept in a seven-game series?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so they were fighting for some pride there on Sunday, but it did not happen. Cleveland 106-102 over Indiana, excuse me. LeBron, the high man, 33 points. Kyrie Irving at 28. The key, though, was Deron Williams, 14 crucial points off the bench. And Joe, if you really look at Game 3 and Game 4, obviously two Cavs victories, the bench has come up big for them.
Yes, they have. And if you remember Game 3, we'll rewind a little bit. Fourth quarter, that big comeback win, and no Kyrie, no Love on the floor in the fourth quarter. That shows you how deep this bench is. If Ty Lue is comfortable with leaving those two star players off the court, he had a great matchup, and he felt they could come back and win that game without him on the floor. It's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and he kind of went with that lineup a little bit, if you will, in Game 4. It was basically LeBron on the floor, then either J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver, and then you had Channing Frye, Darren Williams, and Iman Shumpert. So, kind of a lineup Tyronn Lue really hasn't went with throughout the season, so it was interesting to see him go with it in the postseason. Listen, it's going to be a work in progress in these Eastern Conference playoffs for the Cavaliers as they try and find their way back to the NBA Finals. We know as a cohesive unit, they're not as together as they were last year. That's kind of what they're searching for. And yeah, to go back to that game you mentioned in Game 3, that comeback, largest playoff comeback in NBA history in terms of being down by 25 points at halftime. They were down by 26 at one point in that game. It was a historic LeBron moment, if you will.
Absolutely. And, you know, I turned it on about halftime, and I think we started our text messages around halftime. I'm like, what is going on? And I just left it on in the background and watching, and LeBron just picked up that team and just carried them to the finish line with an awesome, awesome performance. I'm just amazed, like I said, that Kyrie and Kevin were not on the floor. But the way they had that lineup going in Game 3, that it was neat to see them do it without those two.
Yeah, well, you got to ride the hot hand, and sure, a coach does always a good job, at least a good coach does, knows when his player is hot and when to ride the hot hand, and he certainly rode that group right to a big victory in Game 3, and obviously it's a moot point now. That series is a sweep. All right, more NBA playoff action, Joe, with the Cavs being off for a while. We mentioned they are awaiting the winner of the Toronto-Milwaukee series. Toronto beat Milwaukee last night 118-93. The Raptors now up 3-2 in that series. This one, I don't know if it's going to go 7 or not, because I feel like Washington's way better than Atlanta, but it's tied 2-2 after the Hawks beat the Wizards 111-101 last night. And the two teams that met in the NBA Finals the past 2 years in a row, Joe, they each get a little bit of a break. The Warriors, they swept the Trailblazers the final 128-103. 4-0. That series is over.
Yeah, that's just what good teams do. You know, even if you're not a number one seed, number one and number two should probably be sweeping their way through the first round. Obviously, in the Eastern Conference, we don't have that with the Boston down or tied 2-2 now with Chicago. But with the Cavs getting there, they know what it takes. They got 4 wins. They get a break, and they go on to the next series, and they're gonna play the way they know how to play. I feel these rested away because they want that break. They think they earn it, and they think they need to continue to win. But you know, the Warriors are the same way, and even without Steve Kerr on the bench, coaching them, leading them, you still got Steph Curry and Thompson and Durant and all those guys out there. So you know, the better teams are winning, and that's what we expect.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen, obviously, throughout the playoffs. NBA, really too many upsets don't happen in terms of a low seed beating a high seed. So we don't have any upsets. It's not like March Madness or anything. Tonight, Tuesday, April the 25th, on the NBA playoff schedule, the Oklahoma City Thunder trying to stave off elimination. They take on the Rockets in Houston. Houston up 3-1 in that series. Joe, let me ask you this. If the Thunder get bounced in just 5 games in the Western Conference playoffs, Russell Westbrook still your MVP?
Yes, because of what he did in the whole outlook of the whole season. Averaging a triple-double the whole year has not been done since 1961 when Oscar Robertson did it. Hands down, the MVP. I don't think the playoffs should count towards the votes of the MVP, because the MVP is for the regular season, and I think Westbrook proved that he was.
You see the way LeBron has been playing lately?
I agree.
Tell him that the MVP doesn't matter in the postseason.
But how bad? Just think about how bad would Oklahoma City be without Westbrook?
Yeah, they'd be horrible. He's probably going to be the MVP, deservedly so. But I think it's a shame. It's blasphemy, really, that I think LeBron James probably won't win another MVP in his whole career. Listen, am I a LeBron lover? Yeah.
Sure, we all are.
We both hail from Akron, Ohio. Am I a Cavs lover? Yes, I grew up in Northeast Ohio. But I think we all know LeBron's the best in the world. He kind of gets overlooked at times. But anyways, Warriors. That's a story for another day. I think we're all surprised that this series is tied up at 2 games apiece. That's the San Antonio and Memphis series. It goes back to San Antonio tonight for game number 5. San Antonio favored by 10 points tonight.
Back at home, though. I mean, they play well at home, and I think Memphis has got some momentum going right now. They've won 2 in a row. And I think, you know, they're going to give them a game in San Antonio. Not sure they'll get it done there, but maybe when they go back to Memphis for game 6, maybe they can get one, tie it back up, and go 7. But who would ever thought the Spurs would go 7 games possibly in the first round?
Yeah, they don't have the firepower to compete with Golden State. I don't think it's the Warriors and the Cavs in the finals, barring injury, in my opinion. Then also tonight, the Clippers and the Jazz. This series tied at 2 apiece. This is game number 5. The Clippers favored by 3.5 this evening, but poor Doc Rivers, poor Clippers fans. Every time they make it to the postseason, some sort of catastrophic injury. This time, Joe Blake Griffin.
Yeah, Blake Griffin hurts his toe. He's out the remainder of the playoffs, no matter how far they go, which is a stunning blow to the Clippers. You know, it's tough. I think this is going to cost them their first round series. I think Utah goes on and wins this series, maybe in 6.
Utah, kind of a up-and-coming team. Gordon Hayward, first-time All-Star this year, went to what school?
Butler.
That's right. Coached by?
Brad Stevens.
Chris Cale will love that.
Yes.
And they have Joe Johnson on that team, too.
He's like 38 now.
Yeah, he's not that old, but he's a little up there. He's a little long in the tooth. And then tomorrow, Wednesday the 26th, couple series that are tied 2-2 going into Game 5, Wizards-Hawks, that one in Washington, our nation's capital, then Bulls and Celtics. Joe, who ends up taking that series? It's tied 2-2. Chicago took the first 2 in Boston, then Boston took the subsequent 2 in Chicago.
I don't know, man. This series makes me scratch my head a little bit. I honestly thought Chicago would maybe not finish it out in a sweep, but I thought they would win one of their 2 games at home. But now they got to go back to Boston for one. You know, I think Boston feels they're alive now, and I think they're ready to go in this first round.
Boston needs 2.
I think it's going to go 7.
Boston,
I really do.
Well, whoever gets the 2 wins next, will win the series,
sure.
Obviously. But Boston needs two wins. They have 2 games in Boston,
sure.
So
that's why I'm thinking Boston wins it in 7. They'll go back. They'll win tonight in Boston. Chicago will win at Chicago, I believe, and then Boston will finish it out at home.
Well, let me ask you this: with the Raptors up 3-2 over Milwaukee, one of the best youngest teams in the NBA. I mean that when I say that. They have a lot of talent on that team. Who wins that series and takes on the Cavs in the next round?
I'm going to say that's the reason Milwaukee loses.
And they're so young.
They're so young. Okay. They haven't been there before. So I think Toronto faces.
What do you mean?
The
Cavs. They have Deli. He's been there, but
he's been there before. But that's it. You know. Then they have Giannis. I think one of the best young players in all of the NBA. Maybe a top 5 player in the NBA.
Probably future MVP.
Sure.
In his near future. All right. Let's shift over to Major League Baseball. You ready? The Indians were off yesterday. They get back at it tonight, but that weekend series with the Chicago White Sox, the Indians take it 2-1, although they lost Sunday to the Tribe in a final of 6-2. And then yesterday on Monday, the Cincinnati Reds, Joe, they kind of started the season hot. Now they're kind of
coming back to earth.
Coming back down to earth, if you will. They lost to the Brewers in a high scoring game, 11-7 last night. Also, the Pirates getting pounded by the World Series champion Cubs, 14-3. Chicago had 17 hits in that
Chicago
game.
Just opened a can in the first couple of innings, and I watched a little bit of that game. I was keeping an eye on the Reds game a little bit, and you know, Amir Garrett, that rookie pitcher for the Reds, we'll talk about them just for a second, got lit up 3 innings, like 7 earned runs. He gave up 3 or 4 home runs. First bad start of the year for him, kind of led the Reds to the loss there. But looking at the Pirates-Cubs game, you know, they were just teeing off. They were hitting.
Home run derby over there.
Starling Marte being out, now they're playing a guy that should be a first baseman in right field. So that's kind of hamstrung them a little bit. And you know what? The Cubs are a good team, and I think they're starting to come into their own. Their offense is really on fire right now.
Since we're talking about the National League Central and the Cubs and the Pirates, the Cubs kind of starting off average, if you will, just like the Indians. They're right now 11-8. The Pirates 8-11. And as for those Cincinnati Reds, Joe, right at 500, 10-10 on the season.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds, like I said, they start off hot, best start since 1990. Then they're starting that downhill descent, you know, and I think that this is the more realistic Reds that we're seeing right now that we'll see the rest of the year. I think the Cubs will start going up. You know, and they're going to peak hopefully towards, you know, the middle to the end of the year where they want to peak. I think the Indians will be fine as well.
Indians, the American League favorites this year. Right now, their record 10-8, standing at Tuesday. Obviously, they get back at it tonight. They're tied right now with Detroit on top of the AL Central, but Detroit in first place because they own the tiebreaker over the Cleveland Indians. Now for the schedule tonight, the Indians welcome a very good Houston Astros team. Houston is 13-6. First pitch at 6:10 this evening. Josh Tomlin on the mound for the Tribe. Dallas Keuchel will pitch for the Houston Astros. The Cubs and the Pirates still going at it in their series. That one starts at 7:05 tonight. And Joe, how could I forget your Cincinnati Reds? Who are they playing again tonight?
Milwaukee.
Oh, the Brewers once again. Yeah, 7:40 is when that one will start. Also, starting a set in the Major League Baseball, the Yankees and the Red Sox, most likely the best rivalry in baseball. You can throw Dodgers and Giants in there too.
Sure, absolutely. Red Sox Yankees, I always flip on a few innings of that series just to watch. I love the, you know, the rival. I love rivalries. It goes to any sport. You know, you love the rivalries. So Boston and the Yankees, always a fun series to watch.
I'm not real schedule guy. Okay, I lie. I am schedule guy. But looking at the Indian schedule real quick, obviously starting this huge series with the Astros, three-game set. Then they have the Mariners in Cleveland. Then they go on the road to Detroit. That's a four-game series. Yeah. That's huge early on. Then another series with a division foe, that is the Kansas City Royals. So this kind of this stretch right here for the Indians early in the season.
Kind of important.
Yeah, kind of big.
Yeah, I think they'll get tested against the Astros to see, you know, kind of how good they are or how good they can be. And I feel obviously going to Detroit's going to be a huge four-game swing with Detroit leading the division right now. So if they can pick out a couple wins from Detroit, maybe take three or four, they'll be sitting in good shape. But it's a long season. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Eric, we're going to talk a little NFL now. The NFL released the 2017 regular season schedule last week. The Browns start the season with the Steelers and end the season with the Steelers.
Yeah, I don't know how I really feel about that, especially if the Browns have a rookie quarterback under center for week number one. We'll talk more about that. You already mentioned those two games, September the 10th. The Browns open up against Pittsburgh. Then after that, Baltimore, two division games right off the bat. And then they have the Colts, then the Bengals. Three division games within the first 4 weeks for the Cleveland Browns. They'll most likely be 0-4 or 1-3 at that point in time. Some other notable games for the Browns throughout the year. On 10-22, they play the Titans. Why is that notable? Because it's my birthday. The very next week, the Browns go to London to take on the Minnesota Vikings. That's actually a home game for the Browns this year. They get a home game taken away from First Energy Stadium. Also, Cleveland gets to make a trip to Hollywood as they take on the Los Angeles Chargers. It'll take some time to get used to saying that.
Yes, it will. LA Chargers and the LA Rams now. No team in San Diego, which is kind of weird. But you know what? I like the Browns schedule. I think it's not too difficult. But they do start out 3-4, like you said, in the division. So a little challenging first four games. We'll see what happens.
No doubt about it. No primetime games for the Browns, no night games, all of them Sunday afternoon games, except for that one in London, and that will be 9:30 a.m. our time. Should I get up early for that one, or just sleep in? Yeah, it's probably the best bet. The Pittsburgh Steelers, some notable games, Joe, on their schedule, which was, like you said, just released last week. We already mentioned they open up with the Browns. They play the NFC champion Falcons. They also have to take on the Panthers, who are looking to have a bounce back year. The Chiefs, who were a strong team last year. Also, the Steelers take on the Packers in November, late November. That should be a good one. And also, mid-December, Steelers-Patriots.
Yeah, that'll be a tough schedule, just like it always is for the Steelers. And you, I'm sure they'll be...
AFC North has a tough schedule this year.
Yes, they do. So we'll see what happens with the Steelers. And they get a couple guys back. I'm sure Chris will fill us in when he's back on the podcast sometime, whenever we do talk NFL again.
Joe, your Bungles, they do open up with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Seems like they do that every year.
Nice divisional matchup there. Early on, they play the Packers. Steelers on my birthday, October the 22nd. Also a matchup with the Broncos in Denver. They play the Vikings. That one not in London, no, for you guys. Wouldn't be fair to make the Vikings go to London twice. And then the Lions on Christmas Eve. If you ask me, of those three teams, Bengals, Steelers, Browns, Bengals have the easiest schedule.
I would think so. I mean, the Bengals, you know, not a great season last year. Obviously, the Browns, we all know what they did. But, yeah, the Bengals schedule doesn't look too difficult this year. So we'll see what happens. They get a couple primetime games in there, which, you know, the Bengals seem to do, but they don't play very well in primetime. So I don't know. Not sure how I feel about that.
And Joe, some breaking news in the NFL today. Free agent running back Adrian Peterson, who spent his whole time in Minnesota with the Vikings, announced that he will be signing with the New Orleans Saints. Your reaction?
That's a good signing for New Orleans. It's only a $7 million deal, so not much money there for New Orleans to take a chance on one of the best running backs to ever play the game. And, you know, I like the signing for New Orleans. I think it gives them a little help in the running game to help Drew Brees throw the ball around the field a little bit like he likes to do.
And Joe, lastly, we cannot forget about our Big Z Sports Draft Watch Party, all presented by Brickyard Dining Company. Huge shout out to them. Right along with this podcast, in a post right along next to it on our Facebook page, you will be able to see our latest mock draft. It is mock draft number 4. And Joe, the top 5 goes as such. The Browns, it hasn't changed for us yet, really hasn't changed for everybody. With the number 1 overall selection, they're taking who?
Myles Garrett out of Texas A&M, even though Warren Sapp came out earlier in the week.
Warren Sapp, Warren Schmapp.
He's not sure why he's a number 1 overall pick. Dude takes plays off. He only has 3 or 4 good plays a game. But that coming from a Hall of Famer and Warren Sapp, and you know what? I don't put much credit into it. I think Warren likes to run his mouth a little bit. But you know what? Myles Garrett, I think, is the hands-down number 1 choice.
At number 2, Big Z Sports has the 49ers taken Solomon Thomas from Stanford. Marshawn Lattimore from The Ohio State University, defensive back, is who we had the Chicago Bears taken with the 3rd selection. This one is kind of a tough one. But a lot of other mocks out there have Leonard Fournette going to the Jags at 4. I think they're going to get Blake Bortles some offensive help. Obviously, we will find out in a couple of nights. And then to round out the top 5, we do have the Tennessee Titans taking Jonathan Allen, defensive lineman.
Yeah, that you know, that top 5 is pretty good. Obviously, it can flip a little bit in there.
Depends those are probably the top 5 players in the draft.
Sure, absolutely. And I think the draft really hinges on maybe number 4, maybe number 3. We've you know, we've went back and forth a little bit on those 2 picks, but if you look later in the draft, we look at number 7, the Chargers will take Malik Hooker, safety out of The Ohio State University, another Buckeye off the board early in the top 7, and drop down to my Bengals. We have them taking defensive line and defensive lineman Derek Barnett from Tennessee.
Well, how could you miss number 6, where we have our first quarterback taken, the New York Jets? We have them selecting Mitchell Trubisky. Obviously, that pertains to the Cleveland Browns. A lot of folks think that the Browns have their eyes on Trubisky, but since we have him off our board there at 6, at number 12 for the Cleveland Browns, we do have them taking a quarterback, although this one from Clemson, it being Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you know, I like that pick.
He's been
like
there our last 2 mocks, I do believe.
Yeah, and Deshaun, I like Deshaun more than Trubisky. I would love to see him go to Cleveland as long as he has the offensive line protection, which they did upgrade in free agency. So let's see what happens with the Browns. But, you know, I love Watson. I love his athleticism, his smarts. Just look what he's done to that all-world Alabama team the last couple of years. Beat him for the national championship this year. Dropped 40 points on him the year before, even though it was a loss. But he knows how to take, you know, he knows how to play the quarterback position.
Some other moves of note. We have Christian McCaffrey moving up dang near 15 spots all the way to the Colts at number 15. And that's who we have the Indianapolis Colts taking, running back Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford. Also, we finally have Cam Robinson, O-lineman from Auburn, in the 1st round. We have the New York Giants taking him at number 23. And a Buckeye to mention, we have the Green Bay Packers taking Gerrion Conley at the number 29th pick. And then a player from that school up north going right after him, Joe, Jabril Peppers to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wonder how Chris Kale would feel about that selection.
He probably doesn't like it, but we put him there because of the latest incident with him, diluted urine sample at the combine. That can mean a lot of things. We're not speculating on anything, but I think it's going to cost him to slide a little bit. We'll see how the other teams feel about that, or the teams in the NFL draft feel about that. But Peppers to the Steelers, they need safety help. We'll see what happens.
And then a bonus pick we're tossing in there. The Browns obviously have the 1st pick in the 2nd round, which is number 33 overall, just like last week. Again, this week we have them taking an offensive playmaker. That's tight end Evan Engram from MISSISSIPPI, Ole Miss.
Very good. Yeah, you know where Ole Miss is located?
MISSISSIPPI.
Very good. Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thanks for that. Of course, we're talking about our Big Z Sports Draft Watch Party. Come join us Thursday night at Brickyard Dining Company. We're going to get there early, Joe, at around 6 o'clock. Our pre-draft show from 7 until 8. Then after that, hang out with us, watch the rest of the draft, enjoy all the great food at Brickyard. They're going to have exclusive specials that night. Prizes will be handed out throughout the evening, and we're going to have our wing eating contest. The grand prize is out for that, along with second and third place. You can view all that information, all the prizes, all the information about what's going to happen there that night on our Facebook page, WTUZ Big Z Sports. There's an event created. Go like it. Go share it. We hope to see you guys there on draft night. Did I mention prizes galore handed out that night?
But I'm going to mention new menu items. They're going to have some new menu items.
Yes.
One thing that intrigues me, I looked at this and I circled it when you emailed it to me, was the Blackjack Burger.
Don't know what it entails.
Man, it sounds good.
But I know their burgers are delicious.
Yes.
Actually, we're having a Brickyard for lunch here today.
Yes, we are.
So we can't get enough Brickyard around here, and obviously we'll be enjoying some of their scrumptious food on Thursday for the draft. We hope you guys can certainly join us there on draft night. Joe, as we close out our podcast, some kind of strange news in the world of racing. One of the most iconic racing figures, if you will, Dale Earnhardt Jr. announcing at the end of the season he's retiring.
Yeah, that's quite a shock to me. I haven't been able to talk to Chris Cale about it. I did see it come through as we were preparing for our podcast today. But another big name out of NASCAR after this season. You know, Jeff Gordon's gone, Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, and now Dale Jr. That's quite a shock to the racing world. One of the beloved, beloved drivers ever.
Hendrick Motorsports made that announcement today, Joe. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 42, 26 wins and 603 starts. Most likely a Hall of Fame racer, Daytona 500 winner in 2004, most recently in 2014. Like I said, he has earned 14 consecutive NASCAR Sprint Most Popular Driver Awards.
Yep. That's Dale Jr. at the age of 42, retiring at the end of the 2017 season. Again, a reminder for our draft show on Thursday, live from the Brickyard Dining Company on the south side of New Philadelphia from 7 until 8 on Thursday. Join us there with lots of food and fun. That's the Brickyard Dining Company on the south side of Philly, beginning at 7 o'clock with myself, Eric McElroy, and Chris Cale. With that, this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Sammy Sue's Barbecue Podcast will come to a close. For Eric McElroy, I'm Joe Geckler saying thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Sammy Sue's Barbecue Big Z Sports Podcast.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.